Well, we're going to take this call, I think, in a direction that I have never taken this particular topic. As those of you who may be joining us for the first time tonight, we're on quality number two, mental creation. We have been talking about how to use our mind constructively so that we can get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. I'm in the middle of writing a blog, and I'm in the middle of an amazing situation where Lee Steinberg and I are putting together this partnership to take these principles to Division I schools. And the conversations are so fun and so exciting as we're going through this process. And I've shared with you some of the impressions that have come lately so that you know that these aren't things that happened years ago. These are current events where we are mentally rehearsing. Something is coming up, for an example, a speech the next day, and get an impression. And then follow through on that impression. As I wrote in the back of the Observer's Chair, I believe I read this 2 weeks ago when we were together, I wrote that we need to treat these impressions as if they're urgent assignments. And last week, you were also gracious to allow me to move my schedule around. We don't do it very often on a Tuesday night. I think we've only done it once or twice out of 200 sessions. So it's been quite a while we've been doing this, and we've only changed it up a couple of times for emergency. Last Wednesday, I went to Ruth Van Buren's funeral in Las Vegas. Very interesting, because Ruth was the center of this conversation that I had at June Jones's and Lee Steinberg's, in June Jones's backyard. June, the head football coach for SMU, and Lee Steinberg, the number one sports agent. And getting a call from Ruth and having the impression that I needed to return it right then in the middle of that conversation. And then finding out that her cancer was back and with a vengeance. And then having her say, no matter what happens, I win either way. And coming back and sharing that very sober, poignant moment with everyone there that was sitting around having this conversation. Because I just love Ruth to death. She's such an amazing human being. And she was cancer-free just 4 weeks earlier. She was on her way back, and all of a sudden overwhelmed, but so hopeful. And how that set up a special moment that has just reverberated through the last 3 or 4 weeks now into crazy things we'll be talking about and revealing in the next few months as they become formalized. Very exciting things that are happening, and they happened because people got to experience each other's hearts. Their hearts. There was such trust created that evening, initiated by Ruth's phone call, and then sharing that experience in that moment. What a precious thing. Last week at the funeral, if I may just share with you parenthetically, some of you were present at the funeral. Person after person, her sister, two friends gave the eulogy, her children spoke. Common theme. Never, ever heard her say anything negative about anyone, ever. And I look back and that was my experience of her. Always positive, always building, always looking for solutions, always. And as they said, right up to the end. And I thought, wow, if I could just leave this planet in that same kind of a space, what a contribution we can all make to the world if we would see that possibility. As many of us, because of the very thought processes we're talking about the last couple weeks, and tonight, as we go into goal setting, these thought processes, these obsessive systemic thought processes, when they are not bridled, when they are not disciplined, as Ruth had disciplined hers, when they're not, then our natural default is fantasy. We go to the future when everything's wonderful and fine, and we start spending the money that will be there when we get there, or we're, you know, paying off our debts, and the freedom and the peace that we'll finally have, and we have this euphoria coursing through our bodies, or we go into catastrophe and we worry. And I said now the last two sessions, in today's day and age, there's been far more worrying than there has been fantasy. Just a lot of worrying, incessant worrying. This is such a key piece of all the principles that we teach, because we got a unique insight into what they're doing. Leaders in companies where they're dealing with salespeople have believed for a long time that if they could just get their people to see what they saw or see, they would do what they do. They could just see the possibilities like I see them. They could see what I see. They would do what I do. But the truth is this, and it's such a, it's a terrible indictment, but it's a true one. 98% do not see for the purpose of getting guidance and inspiration to come back and do the work of creation. They are going to see so that they can escape and go and live beyond that. We build dream boards. That's a form of goal setting. We build a dream board, and instead of it being a target, that's where I'm headed. I'm here. I want to be there, and I want to fill this gap between here and here, every millimeter between here and there, so that I can get there. I'll keep my eyes on that goal, and I'll ignore the obstacles at my feet. I will do the work necessary to create this. I will persist until I succeed. Instead of doing that, we skip all of this and go right to the time when it's happened, and we want to live beyond it. This is the number one cause for self-esteem challenges, unmet expectations. This is the number one cause for frustration in one's life, personal frustration. This is the number one cause for frustrations in relationships. Well, there are other things that are created and cause challenges, but this is the number one cause, unmet expectations. Now, you can hear my passion, because our choices are to continue doing what we've been doing and even telling people to vividly visualize. And I say, yes, we want to vividly visualize, but we want to do it in a way that's consistent with creation, in a way that we align ourselves and plug into this planet and start to receive inspired ideas that ignite our passion and drive our discipline and effort and action. Because until we make this conscious choice, nothing is going to change. There's one thing that is absolutely true, and that is that success is never magically manifest. It is intentionally created. That can be so frustrating for some to hear. And I know that some have wanted to take me on when I've spoken publicly about this. I say, well, breaks my heart because I know the physiology. If we're going to fantasize, which is going to a point in the future and living beyond it, we'll never realize it, ever. It's not going to happen. But we can go to the future, see it. This is the basis of goal setting. See it. And see it so clearly that it ignites our passion and drives our focus and discipline and effort and action. That's possible. We do want to vividly see it. We just don't want to keep going back to it and living in it and playing with it and experiencing it, because it is of no value until we actually create it. This is one of the great destroyers of human beings. Now, where it becomes the most challenging is someone who has had a job where they go in the morning and they may clock in or a time card or some kind of an indicator they're on time. They have an assignment or a task, a responsibility, and they go through the day and do that. They have a certain amount of time for a lunch break, maybe a break in the morning and the afternoon, depending on the office or the facility. Then at a certain time in the day, they clock out, and they go back home to their life. And they go back home, and they become little league coaches or moms, or they're cleaning houses, they're cleaning the house, they're vacuuming the car, they're mowing the lawn, they're going on picnics, they're camping out on Memorial Day. This is their life. And they have to go every morning to this thing called work. And then they come home. Very few people are passionate about what they do during the course of the day. It's a requirement. This is what pays the bills. This is what keeps them alive. These are the most vulnerable for fantasy. Because to dare to dream, it's not unusual that when we wake this up, and you can do it at very high levels, if you can be discouraged and play out worst-case scenarios vividly, you can dream vividly. But we go to a meeting and we get excited about a possibility, and we see people making money, and it looks like they've got time freedom, financial freedom, all those things we don't feel we have, because we're just getting through paycheck to paycheck, trying to put a little bit away in a 401k or into an IRA or something. And we keep having these emergencies and keep having to fix things. And it's just maddening. Maddening. And all of a sudden there's this possibility. And the first great risk is to believe that that could be magically manifest. And the truth is this. It can be created. And tonight I'm going to give you one more piece of how to have that vision, that possibility, a reality in your life. Because if we just go there and get so excited about it, and because we struggled so much, we want to just experience what that would be like, we're in fantasy and we've set ourselves up for discouragement. The mind is going to create that mental construct, that expectation, that concrete condition for happiness. Reality is going to show up the next day and we're going to be in turmoil. Cortisol surge, fear dendrites from our amygdala shutting down our prefrontal cortex, just black out in our brain. And we're going to be terribly discouraged about the whole process. And the only solution so far has been to go back to fantasy. If you've been working a job and you now are taking in self-improvement to do something magnificent, to do a home-based business or to create something beyond what you've done in the past, just know that the purpose of the vivid visualization is to get a clear vision, to get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges that will help drive your actions, drive the actual creative process of building it. If we don't get to this place, we're just going to be relegated to a life of frustration before because the mundane and routine, and now because of the chemical reaction in our body from fantasy and catastrophe, which is going to wear us out. It's going to exhaust us. It's going to discourage us. We might actually leave and stop dreaming. I want you to dream. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to show you how to dream in two or three different places. And then what needs to be done in the work, what you'll want to do so that that dream that you've seen can become a reality. Oh, this is such an important piece. Again, I mentioned early in this conversation I'm writing a blog on this topic. It's the most bold thing I have ever written. It scares me when I go back and rewrite it. But somebody's got to speak it, because this is such a poorly understood principle. Now, before we go into the principle, when it's practiced, the way I'm going to share it with you, when it's practiced, we're mentally rehearsing something, we get an inspired idea and we act on it. When we're seeking inspiration, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them, and we have something miraculous occur. We're exploring possibilities and we realize we just learned something that we didn't know and it saved us some problems. Or we're doing problem solving and turning our mind loose and it comes up with a solution we hadn't thought of. Minutes ago, I was doing a problem-solving activity, got an inspired idea, made a phone call, and solved a problem for a client. It was amazing. Through a third party. Happened to believe in that person and trusted them and had the means to solve that problem they were working on, and we just solved it, just like that. Wow. So exciting to surrender to these impressions. Surrender to them and stop questioning where they're coming from and whether they're inspired and all the doubt and fear we have. We'll get to self-esteem again here in a few weeks. But we can solve a lot of our self-esteem problems by when we get an inspiration to serve someone. If our intention is to serve, if our intention is to lift and build, to create something, and we get an inspired idea, we want to act on all of those. Some will be more magnificent than others. Not every one will be something you'll write about in your journal. But the little ones add up and the big ones are just really sweet. So we'll start trusting our intuition. Trusting these inspired moments. When we start treating them for what they actually are, my promise to you is they'll become increasingly substantial. In terms of scope and importance, there is a power greater than all of us. And when we plug into the planet, we're saying, I want to play in your playground. I want to focus on what you focus on, which is lifting and building and blessing the lives of others. I want to be a participant in that. And it's like that power saying, really? Let's see. Let me just give you a little inspired idea and see what you do with it. We talk ourselves out of it. Another one, talk ourselves out of it. Let us see it for what it is. Because if that is truly our heart's desire, you'll want to listen very carefully and act quickly on every one of those impressions. I wish I could tell you the one that just happened. It's just too private. I just got this impression to send a text message to a client about a situation to see if he might be interested in solving this problem. He called me right back. It barely went out. Called me right back and said, absolutely. Where do you want me to send it? Wow. You want to start trusting these impressions. Now, in goal setting, before we jump into goal setting, it's been 2 weeks since we've met. Is there anyone on the call tonight who's had an experience with one of these other forms of vivid visualization, mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving? It's just so excited about what happened, they want to share it with us. Doesn't need to be big, just something that you just know. You just knew when it happened that that's what it was. Anybody have one they want to share before I move on to goal setting?
Dave, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hi there. A few weeks ago, if it's an impression, visualization or whatever, but I'm not exactly computer savvy, but I decided I wanted to make a PowerPoint. And I began to search, and I figured out how to at least get the process started.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited about that, and I thought, you know, this is what faith has been teaching us, is just doing these type of things. And when it comes to us, we know that that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so I have worked on it, and not knowing all of how to do putting the characters on it, the pictures, things like that. And so I enlisted the help of a few others. And it has turned out very well, and I'm very pleased. But I do know that it is because of what you're teaching that came to me, and I thought, I know this is right. So just wanted you to know that.
Isn't that awesome? Have you at all, since you started this process, said to yourself, wow, what was I so afraid of?
Yeah.
Have you had that kind of, why did I wait so long? Wow. That's wonderful. Yeah, we just jump in. We just take it on.
And because of that, there's been some pretty incredible people that are starting to be placed on my path now that I know I'm thinking a year ago, 2 years ago, I would have been so afraid to talk with them that now it's easy to talk with them now.
Is everybody hearing this? So fun. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're growing.
Yes, I am. And I know it. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when we're growing. In some ways, we're just revealing. It's like we're shedding fear, and so the real us just gets to keep showing up more and more and more. Yeah, it's almost like just coming home. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Diane, are you with us tonight and have any updates on your job search? Check and see if Diane's with us tonight. Okay. Let's go into this goal setting. I want to go to a couple of places. I've been on some coaching sessions today. Husband and wife, and I'm coaching, and some beautiful things are happening. With another where the divorce is imminent. Because relationships require two parties. A committed relationship requires two parties. Now, one can be very infectious, for good or ill, but eventually it takes both parties. I'm sitting here at the place I wrote about in the book, that when Ramona and I come up here, part of our discussion is what I'm going to share with you right now. I've shared it with you when we were doing our coaching. If you've been on Tuesday night calls, we've been through it. The question I want you to ask yourself is this. If you're in a relationship, have you begun the process of actually goal setting in your relationship? Have you actually started? And if not, let's not say, oh, I've been through this, because we haven't been through, because to know and not do is to not know. Let's really know tonight and then take it and do. It doesn't have to be full-blown in terms of everything that's done over the course of a year, but we do want to be able to start to implement some of the ones that can even be implemented unilaterally by yourself. The vision for Ramona and me in our relationship, matter of fact, I'm going to stand up and look right on the deck where I see this happening. I'm looking out over a lake that's 22 miles long and 8 miles wide. It's turquoise blue. It's not tonight because it's cloudy, and so it looks kind of white, actually. But in the day when the sun's shining, it looks turquoise blue. It's just, they call it the Caribbean of the West. Sitting out here in two chairs. We're 85 years old. 85. And we're holding hands. And I'm looking This is my vision. You'll have your own. I'm looking into Ramona's eyes. I can see the wrinkles on her face that she's earned from her service to me for the challenges that life has been, the sacrifices that have been made for her love, her attention, gifts to her children, and her time and energy. I just can feel being in this space. I want you to imagine your space. It's fun to talk to you about this space, actually sitting here tonight, because I want you to imagine where your space is. Where is your favorite place on the planet? Where would you want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Mine is at 885, because that's what I saw. I have to trust that impression that there's something important about that year. Because that's where when I put this out to the power that's greater than me, and I said, help me see possibilities, I saw age 85, sitting on these two chairs, holding hands. And I said, I found myself saying to Ramona, I have been faithful to you in every way. I thought, wow, that's a responsibility. It felt so right. It felt so powerful to be able to speak that to her. For the guys on the phone, ladies on the phone, now some of us have made mistakes in our lives. So we can take May 28th, 2013, from this day forward. We can get rid of habits and thoughts, any inappropriate relationships. All those things can be ended right now, tonight, done. And we can be focusing all of our passion, all of our love, all of our energy on our companion. I just wanted to mention that one tonight with emphasis. I've been faithful to you in every way. Those are words we're going to want to speak whenever we get to that time. Now, if you don't have a relationship and you want to be in one, just ponder the kind of person you'd want to be so that those kinds of things could be said. Now, there's some things we want to ponder. Can you see the vivid visualization? Usually we're using vivid visualization to imagine what it'll be like when there's no more stress or pain or frustration, or we have our dream house or our dream car, or we're out of debt or whatever the case may be. One of the most powerful applications is in the development of a relationship. Because whether we're in one or we want to create one, the rules all apply. We go to a time in the future and we vividly visualize what that would feel like. So just be with me for a moment. Go to this place. Just feel it. So I can tell you, in all the people that I've coached individually, literally thousands, many of them couples, I did not find one when we started who had ever consciously done this exercise. I found that interesting. That in all these committed relationships, we're getting through the day, but in our daily activities, we're not working towards something. Now, sometimes we give lip service to that. Even religious beliefs suggest some of those things. But in truth, do we vividly visualize it? Do we spend private, personal time going to this place in our mind and imagining what it would be like? Because that's the invitation tonight, to actually do this. Now, some of us might feel like it doesn't have the sex appeal of a Ferrari or a dream house. And I just know, having talked to a friend who just died, and tomorrow Ramona and I leave to go back to Salt Lake for a second funeral. And the sad thing is we've got another one next week. When we get to that moment, the few moments before we leave, what's going to matter is this vivid visualization we're talking about right now. It's not going to be the house we live in. It's not going to be about our accomplishments and the money we've made. It's going to be about the relationships we created. And if the person doesn't want a committed relationship, it could be a good friend. Being with a good friend. So I'm just sitting here at 885. The things I want you to focus on, if you'll do this exercise, I would spend some time here. I'm so excited because Ramona, I'll talk about on the way back to Salt Lake, back here Thursday morning. We'll be here through Sunday. These are the kinds of things that matter most. We'll talk about finances. We'll talk about health. We'll talk about our spiritual life. We'll talk about our children. In other words, when we go to this time in the future, we want to evaluate how each one of those things are at that time. You say, well, do I make this up? Not any more than we make up the road along the Oregon coastline while we're driving our Ferrari or Porsche or whatever it is up the road. Nobody need tell us what color the car is or the trees or when the road turns. We can imagine all those things because we have a desire for that. What we want to start doing in our committed relationships is have a desire for this outcome. The more the desire, the more vivid the visualization will become. The more clearly we'll see the possibilities. And we'll explore our health. And it might impact some of the decisions you make today. You explore your finances. It'll control and dictate some of the decisions you'll make today. Your spiritual life. The relationship you have with any children or other friends. Visualize each one of those. Just be with it. And let the power that governs the universe join you on the stage and manifest to you or reveal to you some inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. Because when those start to come, they'll ignite our passion. Oh my goodness, that's what I want to create. I can feel it in my gut. Then we come back to this process. Okay, we're sitting here today on May 28, 2013, and we're going to work our way toward this outcome. We're going to intentionally create that outcome, the financial outcome, the health outcome, the relationship, the spirituality, the relationship with children, other friends. We're going to intentionally create all those pieces. So we come back to today, instead of having a to-do list or a have-to-do list, or a got-to-do, or need-to-do, we have a want-to-do. We have a want-to-do. This is when we're paying attention, and someone might have a little bit of a sore throat one morning, so we go out and squeeze some lemon juice, heat some water, and bring them a cup of hot lemon water. Or we might heat up a hot pad and bring it to them so they can put it on their chest. We don't miss those moments, because we're consciously seeking, what can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? What can I do to intentionally create today a little piece of what I've seen? Because it's only going to happen if I create it. What can I do? So pull out your paper, because these are the things you're going to want to ponder later tonight and for the next couple of days. What could I do each day to intentionally create that outcome that I've seen in my mind? I remember one client talked about a 10-second kiss. Well, try that one. That'll light you up. Could be a little note. Could be just sitting and listening. Just a moment of connection. Not letting a day go by, whether you're home or not. A day without connection. Just that moment of connection. Intrinsically valuing. The client said this morning so beautifully, relatively new coaching client, she is actually testing intrinsic validation, showing up, listening, stepping into people's world. She says, I'm just amazed, I'm quoting her, I'm just amazed how much cooperation and productivity, those are words that I've used, she used them, cooperation and productivity is released when you give someone just a little attention. Wow. And the one place we're going to want to do that most is with our close friends, our committed companions. If we have committed companion there and children, if not our good friends, start in this place. Listening, paying attention. That's a daily activity. Now, you'll come up with some of your own, but have them born out of the vision. Again, not a have-to list. These are things I'm going to want to do every day to create that outcome, to have just a little touch of heaven in my home every day. Now, once a week. Just write down once a week, what can I do? You may want to jump out and make a suggestion. What can we do once a week? What could we do? Anyone? Oh, we skipped a week and everybody stopped participating. What can we do once a week to build a relationship?
Dave, this is Betty again.
Yes, Betty, thank you.
One of the things we can do, first off, is going back to what you've been teaching in the book. When we recognize that someone does have a need, first off, ask, just find out if they really, if they want advice or if they just want you to listen. I met a young woman last week that her situation, is recovering from some serious illness, and I was listening, and I just asked her, you know, what do you want me to do here? Do you want me to just listen? And she just poured it out. So rather than jumping in with a quick fix and, you know, this is what you need or whatever, I just let her talk. And many times that's what people need, is just someone to let them share.
That's beautiful. In a relationship, how often do we want to fix?
Many times we do.
Many times we do. Yes. And the greatest gift we can give to anyone, as you shared, relationship or not, just a friend, acquaintance, is just listening till they feel understood. Greatest gift we give is understanding. It's not the wisdom we share. It's them feeling understood. So thank you. So we can do that on a daily basis with someone. If we have a companion, we do that with our companion. And weekly, Betty, what can we do weekly with a companion? We did it when we were
weekly.
Young.
Be attentive.
Be attentive. Let's talk about a specific activity. What did you do when you were first dating as a young girl?
Well, holding hands.
Yeah, you were dating.
Listening, you know, talking and asking questions and being present.
Yes. I'd like everybody here who's in a relationship to make sure that in the next week they dedicate an evening. And it's interesting how we say, oh, I'm just too busy, or we're getting too old, or we're beyond. There is never a time in a relationship where a weekly date should be avoided. It's a prerequisite to a relationship growing. It's mandated. It's non-negotiable. We all need someone to love and someone who loves us and something to look forward to. And for 38 years, Ramona's looked forward to a weekly date with me. That's just a sacrosanct thing. That's just so important, so sacred, to be able to spend an evening. And then with Betty, what you said is when you're together, holding hands, talking, it doesn't matter what you do. You can go to a movie, you can go to dinner, whatever you do, but you're just together. It's just your time. It's our time, me time together. So a date. Monthly, I recommend to couples that you spend at least a day together. Shut off the telephones. Dedicate a day to doing things that each other would like to do. You could even alternate back and forth. The once a quarter that you break away. Go someplace. do that camping, so it's inexpensive. We have this place I'm sitting in right now is for that purpose. We don't, you know, we're so busy that going off someplace else is not, that's not what we want to just come and just be together. And so this is the place. And the story about this cabin, since I'm here tonight, is in the book. And I talk about how sacred it was when this was found and acquired, but it was intentionally planned because we wanted a place for our quarterly retreats. This fulfilled that need. It was his primary purpose for this purchase, was for our quarterly retreats. Somebody says, well, I'm not there yet. We weren't either. It took us a long time to set aside the funds necessary to do this. But if you don't have the plan, you might not save the funds. You might not prepare. And Betty, you said a moment ago something that was incredible. And I wanted to save it for the right moment before I made a comment about it. And that was, you're surprised that as you're taking this action, the people that are showing up in your life, who you can serve and who can serve you, that is part of the law of abundance. That when we are truly showing up in the service of other people and we're taking action and we're acting on those impressions, expect that to start happening. It won't happen until you're doing these things, but when you're doing them, they start to show up. They start to show up. And when people start to show up and situations start to show up, you're actually able to build even faster and get to your goals sooner, especially those economic goals. That's all this is an expression of a goal set and an action taken and miraculous people put in our path. That's all this is. I'm sitting in the place right now, a testament to the principle that I'm teaching. If these are the things you want to have in your life, then we want to live these principles. So I don't want to get off track tonight. Let's get back to our quarterly event. You want to make sure you have a quarterly event, and then you want to have an annual event, a little bit longer, when you can truly just be together. That was going to be this week for us. This is our week. We have a funeral, and a dear friend of both of us, and we both agreed that we'll go home for the funeral, because that's what we do. We want to have this time. You'll notice that we're meeting tonight and not canceling this event, because last week was so important that we canceled last Tuesday. We couldn't do it 2 Tuesday nights in a row, and so with Ramona's agreement, we're holding this class this evening during our week. This is our week together. That's okay. I have some pieces like that that need to be handled. It's not hard and fast. It just needs to be scheduled, and it needs to happen. And the bottom line is this. If we'll get a clear vision of how we'd like it to be, and then we come back and intentionally on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, annual basis, do these things because they drive us one step closer. In those moments when there's frustration, we'll bite our tongue. When there would have been prolonged days of coldness, it melts away. We keep things in proper perspective. And anger is subsided, and we can make allowances for weaknesses, and peace can be present in our relationships more because of these pieces that are happening. So my promise to you, is that you can have a peaceful, wonderful relationship if you'll get a clear vision. Two, if you'll take daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual steps. And three, this is a caveat. Some may not be in a perfect relationship. By perfect meaning, a spouse may not want to cooperate by doing some of these things. Well, the daily things you can do yourself, unilaterally, you can just do those and create that atmosphere. You can generally get someone to go on a weekly date with you. Go just that far and be the perfect, not the perfect, I use that word and I shouldn't, be the best person that you can be. Most loving and kind. And that caveat contains this warning. If you're in an emotional relationship, when I was on a call today with someone who's in one, physically abusive relationship, all of these plans are off the table. You want to get to some help, a pastor, legal services, the law, wherever you can get professional assistance. Because what I do know is that those who live in emotionally or physically abusive relationships often are blaming themselves for the outcome. Now, I'm not a therapist, so I want to be careful what I say to you. But be careful not to carry the blame and full responsibility for a relationship. Most important thing I may say to you tonight in relationships is as follows. We all have weaknesses. We all have them. But when two people are committed to loving one another, there are enormous allowances that can be made for weakness. So if you're in a relationship and you've got an emotionally abusive partner, don't be focusing on your weaknesses, because everybody's got them, even in peaceful relationships. It's time to address the abuse. It's time to do something. So I'll just leave it at that for tonight. That's our relationships. Again, we've gone through this, some of you, many times. Just for those who are struggling and want to have a relationship, just a very simple concept. Just a moment, if everybody else could bear with us for the benefit of those who might be in that situation. I found, as I've worked with those who have wanted relationships and found relationships, there's a common thread that's followed, and this is it. They get clear, very clear, on the kind of person they would like to have as a companion. The attributes, education, economics, all those pieces. And once they've seen that perfect person, they then step into the world of that person and look at the person they'll be looking for. What are they looking for? Make an inventory. Once you've done that, inventory that against your strengths and challenges. You may find, it's not to beat yourself up, you may find some things that do need to be changed. And then go about doing the work. You have a reason for it. Because when you've done all that you can do to be prepared for that person, it's been my experience, that person shows up in your life. I don't think I've ever told this group. I shared this story a long time ago. When we first came up here to Utah, got settled in, I think we'd been here about 10 years, maybe 15. We got a knock at the door one day, and there was a lady standing at the door with her husband. I knew her, and she simply said, "I promised you that when I found him, I would bring him up and introduce him." They were from California. We're living in Utah. She was a neighbor of ours in California. Dear friend. We became dear friends. Her husband had gone off and had an affair and divorced her and left her with her some young sons, and Ramon and I befriended them, and we prayed together, and oh, we had some sweet times. And I had this inspired thought one night, and I shared with her. I said, I just know that you're going to learn from this experience. The day is going to come when the right person is going to come into your life. If you'll prepare yourself, they'll come into your life and they'll be the love of your life. And she wanted me to meet the love of her life. I've got numerous stories like that I can tell you. But I just know from personal experience that when we focus on being the best we can be, don't beat yourself up. This isn't, well, if I were taller, skinnier. Well, skinnier maybe for me. I'm losing some weight right now because I need to. I don't need to feel bad about that. I need to lose the weight. I want to be healthy when I'm 85 years old. But if I was upset because I'm not taller, that would be futile. I'm not going to be taller. So make sure that what you're looking at is terms of improvement or things that can actually be done. And that brings us to another area of goal setting. Goal setting in terms of things I want to do to improve in my own life, because I can see a possibility and I want to be able to do that. Economically, I see a possibility. I want to be able to do that. It's being able to say, what is holding me back, and being willing to unleash it. Betty, you were so kind to share with us that one of the things that may have been holding you back from making the presentations necessary to get the customers you need for your business is having the ability to do PowerPoints. Well, you jumped in now. Now you're doing them. You'll get better and better at it. Pretty soon they'll be like old school, like, well, of course, no big deal. And they'll be used so effectively that there'll be people who will be attracted to your business because of those presentations. That's just wonderful. Things like that, that's what we're talking about. So when you look into the future of where you want to be, there may be some of those kinds of things that you want to plan out. Because if we do it the other way around, and we do the New Year's resolution, where I need to lose 20 pounds, I have to lose 20 pounds, so I need to do this, I need to do that, these are the guys that all go sign up for the gym, and 90 days later, they're not going back anymore because it's a have to. It's a to-do list. It's a have-to-do list. This is a vision of that drives the action. When we don't want to get up in the morning, we get up anyway because of the vision. That's another form of goal setting. The one that has been most interesting for most has been around finances. People have said, how do I set financial goals? I went back and reread 3 Feet from Gold, Think and Grow Rich. Kind of been the staples, Og Mandino's work, for helping people create wealth. It's been my experience that people can create wealth by focusing on wealth. They can. And they're not ashamed of it, and they're not pretending like it's something other than that. My intention here is to make all the money I can. You want to join me and make as much as you can, and I'm going to make money from what you make. Are you okay with that? They're just matter of fact. I've also known, not known, but know, that when they reach their financial goals, that if money was the objective, there's a fawn rising across the lawn. Isn't that fun? That when they reach those financial objectives, their life is usually quite empty. It's like, I thought this would be different. I want you to know from my own experience, this is a true principle, that when we focus on the money and we get there, we're going to be empty. Where's the love? Where's the fulfillment? Where's the satisfaction? Because you can't ever have enough money if money is the objective. There's never enough. However, money is important. Money buys opportunity. Money buys freedom. Money is a really important part of our society. It's not evil, not unless it becomes that which we worship. If we see it for educational opportunity, being able to travel, be educated, to assist other people, to help the poor, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, that's a worthy reason for wealth. We'll want to, in the process of our goal setting, get clear on the money that we want. And many of you have been through the exercise where we do this a year at a time. You can do longer than a year. There's no restriction on the year. It's just that with the economy the way that it is, sometimes that's difficult to do. I've got some business endeavors that are, the goals are set out 3 and 5 and 10 years. I've got some that are 60 days away from now, or 6 months from now, or a year from now. No matter what the length, I want to give to you what I believe to be the secret. That which unlocks the heavens, that which makes abundance a sacred process in which we actively participate and eventually become. That when our focus is to create value and bless the lives of people, and we stay there. I was speaking last week, and I was talking to a group of an entrepreneur club. And one of the gentlemen was releasing a big software program this coming July. And I asked him, What's the most amount of money you've even dared to imagine this company selling for in 5 years? He knew the number, but he hesitated to say it because this is a startup. He didn't want anybody in the room laughing at him, and I said, nobody's going to laugh. I just want to make sure you've got a clear dream, a clear vision. And he said, $2 billion. $2 billion. And I went, okay. Then I said to him this. In the next 2 weeks, I want you to totally focus on everything that's needed to create a product that would be worth $2 billion as a company. Focus on what it is you'll want to do to serve people, to lift and build people. And I promise you that if you'll do that, you will find two or three things that are currently not in your software that will help make sense. Before that software is released on July 1st, there is one or two things, just little things, that are missing. Can you find them? Well, I'll be excited to get his phone call here in the next couple of weeks because I'm sure he'll find them. Because the risk we have is going into the future to the $2 billion and living beyond it. Instead of saying, okay, $2 billion, now let's work our way back. Because before $2 billion is one, before $1 billion is $100 million, before that is 10, before that is 1, before that we pretty soon get back to where we are today. And everything about this price, or in the case of a person who's selling a product and getting a commission, is delivering value to a human being. Delivering value. In other words, we want to take the income, in this case $2 billion, in our case it might be $150,000, and divide it into the number of people we'll need to, not need to, want to, serve. Value you want to bring to how many people in order to generate that kind of revenue. It'll be the most important calculation you'll make in your dreams in terms of your economics. How many people will you want to impact? I can tell you magic starts to happen when you go here. Because one, your motivation shifts from needing to make money to finding people to serve. And that's a lot more fun because you get rid of the agenda of the money and the agenda becomes the person. How do I lift and build the agenda? That is an agenda that is congruent with this playground we want to be in, with this power we want to access. The people we want to have showing up in our life that we can serve and people that can serve us. That all happens when we're in this playground. Connected to that power. That's what brings those things together. That's what creates that magic-like experience. And we're here by determining how many people we can impact. So in your goal setting, I won't walk you through the entire process tonight. We've just about exhausted our time. What I do want you to do is to take your financial goals and convert them to people. How many people will I need to bless, lift, serve, bring value to generate that revenue, then divide it by the number of weeks in the year and begin the process of finding those people. If you'll stay in this space and you don't go into, okay, the money, now what am I going to do with the money? And we spend all of our time fantasizing about what we're going to do with it instead of doing that which will create it, we always get in trouble. It always falls apart. We want to stay in the details of how to serve, how to make the next thing happen with the goal in mind. That's where we're headed. But to get there, I will want to have a trail between here and there of this number of people that I have served. I have brought value to their lives. I believe it's a secret. I believe it's the secret that opens up the windows of heaven. It's the secret that brings those people on your path. It's a secret that brings joy. It's the secret that brings purpose to the whole process, that when you get there, that you will not feel empty, but you'll feel very full, very satisfied, very excited, because because there'll be so many good people that have been touched in the process. You'll have friends everywhere. This is the secret to goal setting. Because when goal setting just becomes about the money, most people will lose their appetite to do the work. And if they can still gut their way through it, they'll find themselves empty when they get there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Just realize, in closing tonight, the power there is in bringing this gift of vivid visualization to these five constructive ways of thinking: mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, problem solving, planning, and goal setting. Goal setting with relationships, goal setting with improving ourselves, goal setting in terms of our finances. Everything is about creating value everywhere we go and with everyone we meet. It's about connecting with people. Last thing, because when we do it this way, we know and are known. We trust and are trusted. We spend the day with our true self. Our true self. Living and focusing and getting inspired ideas and acting on them. It heals our self-esteem. The number one crusher of self-esteem where I started tonight is unmet expectation. It's when goal setting becomes fantasy. That's what kills self-esteem. So let us do it this way. And let us be examples of it. Okay, anybody have any questions or comments before we wrap up our session tonight? Everybody have a wonderful week. Now, in terms of preparation, next week we're going to go into passion-driven action. I've got some processes for you to go through that'll help you to become more present in the now. It will serve if we have our goal-setting process in place, because a clear goal is easier to stay present in the now doing the work, the millimeters of creation. But we're going to start talking next week about passion-driven action. In preparation for next week, I'd like you to start studying scroll number 9. Scroll number 9, I will act now. My dreams are worthless, my plans are dust, my goals are impossible, all are of no value, unless they're followed by action. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. I hunger for success, I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. Action is the ingredient. There's a great book that's coming out. I just got an autographed copy of it from Don Green, who wrote Everything I Learned About Success I Learned from Napoleon Hill. Great book. You got to go on Amazon and pick it up immediately, because he just goes through all of these pieces and he just keeps coming back to the importance of goal setting and dreaming and then taking action. That without it, everything else is in vain. So next week we're going to take that on. So in preparation, study scroll number 9. I will act now and come prepared next week. And come prepared next week, would you please, to share some of your experiences with your goal setting and with your mental creation and all those five different ways of using your mind. Come prepared to share some of those success stories. This is an important piece of us going to the next level of creation. Well, thanks, everyone, and good night. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Night.
Thank you so much.